Good morning. Can you hear me in the back? Good, good. If you're visiting with us, we're glad to have you. My name is Farrah Griggs. I'm visiting with you too for a while. Before we start, I feel like I have to echo Darren. We spoke for a moment before the service started and we were comparing notes about all the poison that we have seen this week on social media. It seems like there's no grace anymore. There's no civility in conversation. I know you're not like that. Are you? This morning we're going to talk about kindness. And so that this is a good lead into that. You know, there was a murder this week, and there was a murder of a man whose precepts I don't buy. But it was a murder because he said things. This is not America. We don't do that here. And yet we have, and done it readily the last few months. I sure don't think the answer is Democrat or Republican. I think the answer is Christianity. And thank God that you are here this morning. Just try to remember as we fellowship together, we have responsibilities too. There's a world out there that's messed up, and we have a lot of the answers, and we need to share them, as difficult as it might be. Let's go to the scripture. Guess what we're doing today? How about Galatians 5 again? I don't think we can say it too many times. If you have your Bibles, turn to Galatians 5:22. And let's just read together. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. These are the words of God. Let's pray together. Good morning, Father. Thank you for being here with us this morning. I say that every week because I mean that every week. Thank you for being with me. Thank you for being with everyone in this congregation, everyone online. Thank you for using us to find your word for this hour. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. So the name of the sermon message is, I'll just anglicize the word, this is the Greek word, Christotis. It means kindness. So this will take some of you back to another time and place in life. It's part of the Boy Scout law. I must have said it 1,000 times or more as a teenager. A scout is trustworthy, loyal, helpful, friendly, courteous, kind. Of course, the Apostle Paul was not a Boy Scout, but his list of 9 virtues comprising the fruit of the Spirit isn't far off from the Boy Scout law, or really the converse, I think, would be true. The Boy Scout law isn't far off from what Paul's virtues were. As to kindness, or Christotis, its Greek counterpart, well, it's number 5 on Paul's list, and 2nd on the list of outer character traits, which will help to create and nurture that love and joy and peace that start the list. When I was young, just a few years back, every Thursday evening for several years found me attending a Boy Scout meeting in an old wooden garage building outside my church. It was just like a wooden garage. Not very big. I'm sure some of you or your children did the same kind of thing. The building had no windows, and in the summer, there was no circulation, and it was hot. And in the winter, there was a kerosene heater up front. That was good for the first row. We sat on benches, but I don't remember ever sitting on the first row. I do remember that grown men were there, and they took it all very seriously. Even that kindness thing. Every week, some scout was called upon randomly to stand and tell of the good deed that he had done that day. That's the Boy Scout motto, do a good turn daily. I grew up learning that being kind is part of being a Boy Scout, and that was really important to me then. Scouting is still close to my heart. A big reason for that is because scouting is where I learned a lot about the practice of kindness. Now, in Paul's day, he didn't have the luxury of starting with 11-year-old boys whose parents had sent them to be mentored. He had to start with those big kids, and we're a whole lot more trouble and a whole lot more prejudiced. The big kids, the adults, they were the same in Paul's day. The book of Galatians was primarily written to a group of Christians that had already strayed from the truth that Paul had taught them. One gospel, he said, salvation by grace through faith, he told them, adopted just as if we had been born into it, he said. That's all part of the first section of Galatians. And after all that chastising, Paul in chapter 5 throws his arms around us and says, we need to be kind. That it's part of the good fruit of the Spirit that belongs to us. Now we're about to get into some, it didn't hit me. And all the times I've read this, it didn't hit me till last night. This is about as high theology as it gets. It may be disguised in very simple words. But if you want to dive deep into Christianity, you can start right here. This is golden rule stuff. Do unto others, remember? It's that divine kindness, that God is so good to me kindness, out of which God acts toward mankind. It's the kind of kindness that Paul used to describe in Ephesians 2 when he talks about God's love manifested how? In his kindness. How? By sending Jesus to redeem us. Kindness. Dr. Theodore Rubin says it's more important than wisdom. So important that just the recognition of this fact is the beginning of wisdom. Why is kindness so important? Well, for starters, it's an attribute of God. Now, here's some scriptures that you really need to consider. In Romans 2:4, Paul tells us that God's kindness is meant to lead us to repentance. Now you have to ask the question, what if we don't have kindness? Can we get to repentance? I'm not so sure that we can. In Romans 11:22, comparing fallen Jews to converted Gentiles, Paul says that God is kind to those who believe, to those who continue in his kindness. Ephesians 2, Paul talks again about grace through faith, about believers being seated in the heavenly places and being shown, and I'll quote here, the immeasurable riches of his grace in kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. In Titus 3:4, we're reminded that we were saved when the goodness and loving kindness of God, our Savior, appeared. So it's like Jesus is the embodiment of kindness, and that's the way God expresses himself and his kindness to us. Why is kindness so important? Because it's an attribute of God himself. Why else is kindness so important? Well, it's also an attribute of Christians, isn't it? Love is patient and kind, says Paul in 1 Corinthians 13:4. Colossians 3:12, Paul talks about putting on a new self, and that includes, those garments include kindness. And there's my personal favorite that was read earlier this morning in Ephesians 4:32. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. That's the kind of kindness that God wants from us. Anybody remember senior superlatives in high school? Chances are one of you, you probably had to be older. I don't know if they do that anymore. Maybe you were voted friendliest or smartest or most likely to succeed or prettiest by your class. I sort of like that idea, but I'd like to change the list to most gentle, most humble, most courteous, most kind, things like that. Wouldn't it be cool to be voted kindest? I like the Greek word for kindness, Christotis. It's a sweet word. In fact, that's one of its shades of meaning, sweetness. Old wine is called Christos, meaning mellow. In Matthew 11:30, Christ's yoke is called Christos, meaning it does not chafe. Christos has only one function, according to Dr. William Barclay, the old Scottish theologian. It can only help. Try to find a word in the dictionary that does that. There's so many nuances, but Christos doesn't have nuances. It's only a good thing. I think I also like it because it sounds close to Christos, the Greek word for Christ. When I think of my Savior, kindness is one of the first words that comes to mind to describe him. Christos is Christos. Christ is kind. Let me share a story with you written by Sherman Buford, Mr. Alter's fifth grade class at Lake Elementary School in Oceanside, California, included 14 boys who had no hair. Only one, however, had no real choice in the matter. In an AP story that broke in March of 1994, a youngster named Ian O'Gorman was undergoing chemotherapy for lymphoma. And he was facing the unpleasant prospect of having his hair fall out in clumps as a result of the treatment. So he got proactive. I hate that word, but I used it. How about he got active? To avoid some embarrassment, he had his head shaved. And then something very nice happened. Something very kind happened. All his classmates shaved their heads as well. So Ian wouldn't feel out of place. It only took one kid, and that's something important for us to remember. Sometimes things have to start with one. Maybe that one is gonna be you. 10-year-old Kyle Hanslick started it all. He talked to some of the other boys, and it wasn't long until all 13 boys took off to the barber shop together. He said, we just wanted to make him feel better. You think maybe that worked? I hope that barber didn't charge him. My wife Cindy had an old high school friend named Cindy also. Cindy had several bouts with cancer. The first time she went through chemo, her hair began to come out. And the minute it started, her husband Dennis pulled a Kyle and had his head shaved. Cindy beat cancer 3 times in her journey before she finally succumbed a couple years ago. And I personally have no doubt that some of the credit for as long as she was able to fight it and last has to go to that loving husband named Dennis, whose vanity just couldn't find a place in their marriage because all the room had been taken up by his kindness. Now, this kindness thing can get to be a habit. When you do things for others, it makes you feel good. When I was 11 years old, it was my job as a Boy Scout to be kind. I wanted to be ready every Thursday night in case I was called upon. I wanted to be able to report at least one good deed, one act of kindness. And today is sort of a hobby. It's very contagious. If you haven't tried it, you should. I think the greatest thing about it is it makes me feel better being kind, probably, than it does to the object of my kindness. I feel different. I feel empowered. I feel like there may be something good in me. Let me tell you one more story. Not too long ago, this happened to me, and I'm still amazed. Cindy and I were returning from the National Gathering of Eco-Presbyterian, and we got back to Charlotte Airport, and it was about midnight, and we piled in the car. I started it up, and I knew at once something was wrong. It was gurgling, you know, those sounds cars can make. It acted as though it was out of oil. Well, first I was befriended by this security guard who drove me out of the airport, and I think that was against the rules, but he did it to pick up some motor oil. And so we came back, put that in, that got us out of the airport. We got about a mile and a half, and the car sputtered again. And it was as it was dying at a red light, this police cruiser pulled alongside us. Cindy waved down the officer, gave her a quick explanation. And the officer stopped traffic for us to sputter across the intersection to the gas station. We ended up having to call a wrecker to tow the car. And I had to call my brother in Kannapolis to come rescue us. So that process took us another 3 or 4 hours in the middle of the night. I think we got home about 5 o'clock in the morning. And during that time, the attendant at the gas station, a young man of color, allowed us to stay warm inside, this was in February, inside his locked gas station. He offered Cindy hot water to make tea. He cleaned up the restroom and in general tried to make us comfortable. And the whole time, he had to make regular explanations to others who wanted in as to why we were allowed to wait inside and they couldn't come in. It was the policy of this gas station to only serve from the window at night. This was not in the best part of Charlotte, I might add. When we finally left and I thanked him, I just said thank you. I meant it, but I was there at the counter. I thanked him, and this guy, young man, reached across the counter to hug me. I felt as if I might have been being hugged by Jesus. There was just no rational connection for this, but it happened. 3 times in that frustrating evening, I encountered people. 3 times. I could have been shrugged off. I think all 3 times I expected that to happen. Could have been left to my own devices, and there weren't many. But instead, 3 times I encountered unselfish people, unselfish kindness extended to me by total strangers. A long night turned into an object lesson in kindness, and I was the recipient of it all. That's the memory I'll carry much longer than the car trouble. By the way, I sold that car the next month. Not for much money. Kindness is, I think, a cure for many of our problems. I'm sure you feel as I do that certain subjects are off limits for discussion these days. We seem to be a polarized country in our politics, whether it's local or state or national. We seem to be polarized in how we communicate with one another. We have to be careful, very sensitive. I thought about that the other day. I was preparing this and I Googled a few statistics just to see where we are on a couple subjects. Listen to this. From 2015 to 2023, almost a decade, depression went from 19% to 29%, almost half again as much in 8 years. From 2007 to 2021, suicide rates, just for the 10 to 24 year old age bracket, jumped 62%. In roughly the same time period, two decades, 2003 to 2023, Gallup reports regular church attendance is down. It started 20 years ago at 42%. So we were behind the eight ball already. Now it's down to 30%. In this Christian country in which we live, 7 out of 10 of us don't go to church. Is there a correlation in these statistics? Depression, suicide, church attendance. You can draw your own conclusions. But that's data, fresh data about who we are. But I pulled this off the net this week too. I love it. In Detroit, this is now. Some Jesuit high school students have taken it upon themselves to become pallbearers. Teenagers, pallbearers for homeless vets. They've gotten training and they've learned about vets and homelessness. It started with 6 teens and now they're 50. How long do you think it will take before that homeless vet suicide stat starts to decline because someone is being kind to them? Right now it's in their death, but that means that youngsters, teenagers are seeing them and they're changing. What do you want to bet it stays that way and gets better? So I've got this theory. It's just a theory. What if we as people groups, as churches, as professionals, as individuals, made it a point of living our lives and our relationships with intentional kindness? The kind you wake up in the morning and say your early morning prayer, go get your cup of coffee and say, I'm going to be kind today. And you think through how you're going to start. What if we confronted theirs and our depression, suicidal tendencies with kindness? What if we were there before they made those acts? Is that going to be comfortable? No. What we like to do is be homogeneous. We like to come to church where we can fellowship with people that are like us. Well, I like that too. But that's not really what Jesus taught us to do, is it? What if we found and brought these folks to church and Sunday school with us? What if? Yeah, I'm looking out here. I can't count that fast, but Jesus had 12. There's three times that many sitting here. Look what 12 people did. And think about what you could do. I'm reminded, as I'm sure you are, of the greatest acts of kindness I've ever heard, both extended by our Savior as he hung from that dreadful cross. Luke 23. Jesus forgives those who are crucifying him. You know that line. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. 9 verses later, he forgives a thief hanging beside him, telling him that today you will be with me in paradise. Can you even begin to imagine the depth of kindness that it took for Jesus as a man to say those words, think those thoughts, and under those circumstances? And that's the standard he set for us. By the way, kindness is one of those fruits, you know? The fruit of the Spirit is one of the ways to replace the emptiness you sometimes feel coming on. When you feel depressed, when you feel lonely, when you feel empty, when you feel alone, don't wallow in it. Reach out and extend yourself and be kind to someone else. It'll work miracles. Just reach out and touch someone, like the phone lad used to say. And remember, there's really only one way to live by the Spirit, and that's to walk by it. So let's say these 5 together. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness. Let's pray. Dear Father, you've talked to us through the Apostle Paul mostly this morning and reminded us that loving kindness is like your middle name. That's who you are. That's how you roll. Grant that we could emulate that in our own lives. Encourage us, be with us. Help us to step out in faith through your grace. In Christ's name we pray these things. Amen.